This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours, March the 3rd, 2021. DCR with you, as always, every weekday morning, 5 to 8, right here. Where else would we be? But 98.7 ESPN. Busy day, lot to do. Let's say good morning to the guys before we sadly get into the Knicks from last night. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. I'm doing well. I know you're not a big fan of the Wednesday, but I think we got some interesting things we're going to talk about today, so maybe that'll get you going a little bit.
I agree. Typically not a fan of the Wednesday. I think there's a lot of juicy topics to sink our teeth into, so I am looking forward to the show today. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing okay. Not great after that Knicks loss. But again, I listened to the podcast of The Little Price is Right again yesterday after the show, and I laughed just as hard.
Did you?
Maybe one of the funniest things you've ever done in the history of radio.
Really?
I was crying laughing.
Cheater! Do you swear you did do it? Do you swear you did not cheat?
Nobody guesses 98. That might be my favorite line.
Nobody guesses 98.
Nobody guesses 98.
Oh, man.
It was too good. I mean, you couldn't have it. It was too good. I was actually going to start just rattling off different items, but I don't want to get back. I don't want to set you off early in the show.
No.
I need you at your best.
I'm not playing The Price is Right with you guys ever again. In fact, if I was offered to go on The Price is Right because I'm so scarred from yesterday, I might not even go on the show.
Well, you can't be trusted. I mean, who knows? I mean, you'd attack the host at this point.
If Drew Carey would do what Chris and you did yesterday, yeah, I would attack him. Yeah. It's Rule 76!
Happy Gilmore Part 2.
Just the theme song puts me in a bad mood at this point. I used to love that show.
I like to shop.
So now you're not going to be able to enjoy Price is Right, Dave?
I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know if I'll be stung from what happened yesterday for a while or if it goes away. I don't know. Right now, it does not leave a good taste in my mouth.
It's still a little fresh.
A little fresh, yes.
Got to give the wound time to heal.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
Yesterday was the Dave Rothenberg day, though. I mean, between what he did on our show, which was hilarious, the back and forth you guys had, I mean, had me cracking up all day. And then I get into the car after hockey practice, and the second I turn on the K show, it's Dave Rothenberg time again. Now he's got show beefs.
Well, K's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. Did you hear what set him off yesterday with me?
Well, I know he said at one point, I think a couple days ago, like, Dave Rothenberg, keep my name out of your mouth.
Right, but and for some reason he has this anger towards me, fine, whatever. So a former Giant passed away, and it was like a player that I used to love. It was my first love as far as a player is concerned. His name was John Mendenhall, and I remember standing in front of the TV when I was like 4 or 5 years old and rooting for him when the Giants were horrendous. And he passed away on, what's today, Wednesday? On Monday. And I texted Don Monday night. I said, you want to hear something sad? I said, you know, he was the first player I really loved. John Mendenhall passed away, and I figured, you know, you would also be sad. I don't know if you know that or not. And Don's like, oh, thank you for telling me. The first yearbook I ever bought with my own money had John Mendenhall on the cover. I guess he somehow made mention of this on the show yesterday. And Michael took this like, I'm the death guy now. And every time someone passes away, I bring it to other people's attention like crazy. And I guess Don, in my defense, went after Michael.
Yeah, with some stuff, you can't. If you're a rational human being, you couldn't agree with. Like the whole premise, like that all of a sudden now Dave Rothenberg's a better dad and all this other garbage.
Oh, I think that goes without saying.
Hold on, Rick. Are you saying something bad about K right now?
No, I'm not saying something bad about Don. Come on. You know better than that.
No.
Protect Michael K to the death.
He would protect Michael K. Michael K is like Tony Soprano to Rick. Even if he knows he's wrong, he would never go against
Dave Rothenberg, keep my name out of your mouth, okay?
Yeah, even if Michael Kay attacks one of Rick's teammates, he still
doesn't matter.
Defend Michael Kay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you should have heard Michael yesterday. He goes, no one else has an issue with my relationship with Rick. I said, Peter, do you?
Yeah.
Don, do you? Uh-huh. No one else does. I said, Chris does. Well, you know what? You guys don't understand. And he gets all defensive. Just admit it's strange and move on.
So you're not going to be able to smooth things out with the Kasters, which is
saying. It. And I think it's more of a him thing. I have no issue with him. He's the one that's all hot and bothered by this right now.
I think you're jealous of the relationship. I think we all
I'm not
realize
jealous
that
of the relationship.
The
I have a great relationship with you.
You are morphing into your mother. I mean, he's trying to help you, in my opinion. This is what your mother does.
How is he trying to help me?
Well, because this is what your mother does. This is what my grandmother does. Or now my mother, who's turned into my grandmother, is that I'll get the text message like, you won't believe who just died. Like, that's the last thing I want to hear is who died today. I don't need that kind of information.
If that becomes the staple, yes, I agree. If every time you get a text and you know it's from me that you think, oh, God, someone's died before you read it, yes, then I agree with you. Then I've done something that's not right. But it's the old, I've known Don for over 10 years. I think it's the first time I've ever texted him, hey, look who passed away. There's nothing wrong with that. The fact that you guys are taking that as I've done something wrong says a lot about you, both of you, you and Michael. Maybe it's right. Maybe you do deserve each other.
No, we definitely deserve each other. I just think, you call our relationship weird, and yet, the text message you send to Don is, you know what's really sad, Don? A player that I remember watching when I was 4 years old, which is kind of, that's not bury the lead. That's impressive. You remember what you're doing at 4
right?
years old.
That is impressive.
I was just getting off the boob by then. Trying to wean myself off.
which you also odd. Disgustingly remember.
Yeah.
I do not remember that. I was told that.
Mm-hmm. You remember.
No, I do not remember that. God forbid I remember that.
I mean, it says a lot, too. I mean, if you remember actually being on your mom's bosom as a child, would explain a lot. So, Chris, I'm going to read you the text I sent to Don.
Okay.
And, you're on, because I can't ask Rick.
All right.
Do you have an issue with this text at all? Did you see John Mendenhall passed away? He was my first favorite Giants player. Do you have an issue with that?
There's no problem with that text, Dave. Don't let Rick and Kaster convince you otherwise. There's nothing wrong with sending Don that text. Both of you guys are huge Giants fans. So, I get it. You had that attachment to John Mendenhall. It's an emotional thing. So when you see a player pass on, it's... it tugs at your heartstrings a little bit.
Especially
my first favorite
guy. And Don's response is lovely as well. And obviously it struck a chord with him. He said, no, mine too. I believe he was on the cover of the first yearbook I ever bought with my own money in 1976.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, Dave.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. And you're not becoming your mother. This is not that Geico commercial where the Kaster is trying to have an intervention. It's not that.
Thank you.
You're good.
Thank you.
His mother actually has a much better body than he does. His mother looks
probably
fantastic.
True.
It's no, and, true. Coming from the two guys, too, who prematurely have killed people live on the radio.
Now, if you want to be up to Magic Johnson, have at it. Don killed Sidney Poitier, right?
Yes. He did. Very sad, very sad.
But at least, Don's is even almost more understandable. He thought that Sidney Poitier died. And he said, oh, God, this is terrible news. I don't know what happened that I said that Magic Johnson died.
Yeah, but it was Sidney's birthday.
Right,
dead.
But he thought that he saw that Sidney passed away, and he was bringing that to the attention of everybody. I said, knowing that he didn't, that Magic Johnson passed away.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
It's his birthday.
No, didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God.
That's way worse. I don't even want to hear it. That's
just
worse.
Just a wild scene. Just unbelievable. Now, he says he believes that other people knew. Because it came out last night, Magic said nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Whoa. Nah, Rico, the Magic Johnson one is worse, man.
Yes,
the Magic
it's awful.
Johnson one is worse.
It's awful. I killed Magic Johnson. And think about, now, in my defense, and I don't take much defense, so I'm doing you know what makes it even worse? This is on Stephen A's national show on television. The whole country is watching. I'm killing Magic Johnson dead. It's horrendous. But the only defense I have, which is not a great defense, is I was about to break and my producer's talking in my ear and yammering away, and I lost my train of thought, and I just spoke, and I said that Magic died. But it's no excuse. It was awful.
Yeah, but I mean, we've all done national radio. I can understand how you could. I mean, that isn't easy. So, but between, you know, having to do all the reads and then someone talking in your ear, I could see how you get. I mean, but you're talking live. That's why I think yours isn't as bad, because Don actually tweeted it. Like, this was a premeditation.
He sent an RIP out to Sidney Poitier?
Yes. It was a tweet. Listen to what Peter said. Did you just tweet?
Let me hear it again.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
Oh, no, didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God.
That's the best.
Oh, no, didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God.
All right, so there's that one. Let me hear if you can find it, Santiago, now, because I know you haven't played it in minutes. If you can find the other one, let me hear when I killed Magic. We'll see which one I think is worse.
Just a wild scene. Just unbelievable. Now, he says he believes that other people knew, because it came out last night. Magic said nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
That's worse. I think that's worse.
Yeah.
You can tell, though, I lost my stream of consciousness. Like, I lost my thought process of what I was saying.
No, I got you, Dave. And you were just looking for a way to button it up, and you buttoned it up with Magic Johnson being deceased.
Yes.
Strange way to end things, but yeah. I don't know, man, because Don's is kind of bad. It's premeditated because he put it out on Twitter.
Well, here's the thing. Don believed that Sidney Poitier died.
Yes.
I never thought that Magic died. I just said it for some unknown reason.
Yes, you did. Very, very
neither
strange.
Good. They're probably both.
And nobody
laughing,
had having any idea that Magic was going to die.
Dear God.
Magic didn't know that Magic was told that Magic was going to die.
Yes. Little did Magic Johnson know that earlier in the day he had been told that, in fact, he was going to die.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks, decent in the first half, horrendous in the second half. Spurs, that's impressive for the Spurs, to be honest. I mean, night two of a back-to-back, and you go out and you play like that in the second half of the game. So it doesn't horrify me that the Knicks had that happen. I mean, they were bound for that kind of a loss at some point.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, the way that team looked, and they were competitive in the first half. I mean, the end of the second quarter, having Patty Mills hit that open three to push it to four, and then what you saw in the third quarter, I mean, I think they felt the same way you did. I mean, with no Derrick Rose in the starting lineup, I mean, you didn't, even from the beginning of that game, you didn't see the kind of intensity level you normally see with the New York Knicks yesterday.
You're right, Rico, but I thought they were about to turn it on when they went on that 13-1 run in the second quarter. I thought they had kind of flipped the switch and they were going to get into the flow of things. But then that third quarter happened, man, and it's just all of the open shots that the Spurs were missing in the first half, they started knocking them down. Trey Lyles went berserk, and it was just like a situation where you felt like they weren't going to get back into it. Like, usually you'll see the Knicks fight back. Like, if a team goes on a run, the Knicks will find a way to respond. And last night, they just didn't have a response. And that game, to me, was another example of why the Knicks need that second star. Because Julius Randle clearly didn't have his A game, and it was really nobody that could stem the tide from the Spurs in that second half. You didn't have somebody that could just kind of put the team on their back and just get buckets and keep the team in the game, at least make it a fourth quarter game, get the game in the last final 5 minutes, and then see what happens. They just don't have that guy right now. So, I mean, I love what the Knicks are doing. I think it's a great story in terms of how they've turned it around. Yesterday marked a year since they hired Leon Rose. I think everybody thinks he's done a fantastic job, but the job is still incomplete because they've got to add more talent to this team.
Well, I think the thing you notice is, you know, when RJ sent us the rundown this morning, but, you know, some of the conversations surrounding the New York Knicks have definitely started to change. I mean, when we had Kendrick Perkins on and we asked him, you know, about the New York Knicks being a destination for free agents, and he said, you know, had they hired Leon Rose when Kyrie and Kevin Durant were free agents, they would have given serious consideration to the Knicks. And then you have Windhorst saying that he could see a star forcing his way out of the city he's playing in now and pushing himself to the Knicks. I mean, that's a huge positive for the Knicks right now?
That you're a team that's not laughed at? That a free agent wouldn't look at and say, I want no part of going there? 100%, that's huge. 100%, that's tremendous. I mean, if the Knicks are a team that a free agent will look at, sit down, and have a real conversation with, then they've changed the narrative pretty quickly.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you're well-coached and you're functional. And, I mean, they're 18-18, and I think the loss last night, I mean, only – it's not a must-win because it's – I mean, we're in the first half of the season. But I mean, there's definitely a level of importance in this last game
Thursday?
Against Detroit.
I think this is a huge game, actually.
I think it's humongous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's a game you should win. It's your last game for a week. You look at the second half schedule, and it's, you know, daunting. This is as big a game as you could have to end the first half of the season. Because you should win. Last night doesn't drive me crazy because the Spurs are good. And they're well coached. And you're on the road. And they beat you. Okay, fine. I don't wake up this morning horrified. If the Knicks lose on Thursday into Friday, I would be very upset with that loss.
Yeah, I mean, again, for their confidence, too, moving forward. I mean, they just got to themselves now. They were game over 500. They lose this one. It was one of the first times in a long time it felt like they gave up the ghost a little bit. Like, they just conceded that they were going to lose.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I guess could be... I'm going to start just, you know, grasping at straws right now, looking for positives. But the fact that, you know, Randle only played 31 minutes, R.J. Barrett only played 28 minutes, so now going into this Pistons game, this team will be rested. And I think Thibs will preach to them how important this game is. But I think for their psyche... to finish the first half a game over 500 as opposed to a game under 500 would be huge for them.
Yeah, especially how hard this team has been working. Like, the Knicks are one of the most industrious teams in the NBA. Like, you watch it every single night. They bring it defensively. Like, I was surprised that they allowed the Spurs, which is a team that struggles at times offensively, to score as much as they did. But, I mean, this Knicks team gives effort every single night. So you got to have something to show for it. And going into the All-Star break, being over 500 with a winning record versus under 500 and a losing record, I think that's a huge difference in terms of their psyche going into the second half of the season.
Let's take a listen to the head coach of the Knicks from last night, Tom Thibodeau, who says we kind of got what we deserve getting hammered in that second half in San Antonio.
Yeah, well, obviously we didn't play our best. And when you're on the road, you know, you got to play well for 48 minutes. We didn't do that. We didn't close out the second quarter well. Didn't start the third well. And, you get what you deserve.
They did. The way they closed out that first half, you had a bad feeling that it wasn't going to end well for the Knicks, and it did not.
Yeah, I don't understand, too. I mean, that's not the first time you've seen baseline inbounds plays for some reason give the Knicks trouble. Like, they struggle with that for some reason. That's not the first time you've seen that. Patty Mills wide open, he hit that three, and then Chris mentioned it. The floodgates from the three-point line opened up for them in the third quarter. I mean, they... 7 threes in the third quarter, and the Knicks couldn't make up the difference. But, I mean,
yep.
Dave, I think what you said coming into this first segment, that once you saw that Derrick Rose was out because of safety protocols, that you didn't have a good feeling about it?
I saw it on Twitter, and the second I saw it, I turned to my boys and said, the Knicks are going to lose tonight. That was my immediate thought when I saw it.
But I think you could tell by the way the Knicks played, especially Julius Randle in that game yesterday, that he didn't feel like they had a legitimate chance to win that game. Just intensity-wise. I mean, Frank was good. I mean, Frank shot well, which is fine, but he's not he's not a starting point guard in the NBA. Like, he's not facilitating the offense, making it easier for Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett.
No, and one of the most important jobs of the point guard is to control the tempo of the game, and that was not a Knicks-style game, especially in the second half of it. Too many turnovers. I mean, you had 16 turnovers for a team that struggles at times offensively. Like, you can't do that. You can't give away possessions. And then they gave the Spurs too many opportunities for second chance points. The Spurs had 23 second chance points last night. Like, that's not who the New York Knicks are under Tom Thibodeau. It's just not. It was an uncharacteristic game, but I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. I think this is just one of those, Rico, where you got to flush it and move on to the next one.
Totally.
And the Detroit Pistons present an opportunity for them because, again, that's the worst team in basketball. So that's the slump buster. That's the get-back-right game before you go on an all-star break. You'll go into the second half of the season feeling good about yourself, knowing what you did in the first half and knowing that the most recent outing you had was a solid performance. So I agree with you guys. That game that they got against the Pistons on Thursday night, that's a big game for them.
They have to win the game. They have to.
It's a big game.
I mean, it completely changes how you feel about the first half of your season.
Yes. And you have a week in between games. So if you lose a game at home to Detroit, it leaves a terrible taste in your mouth for the end of the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is, for all the hard work that they put in, for them to lose last night, you're right. I'm not horrified at all. Do I like the fact that it looked like they kind of waved the white flag? I didn't love it, and you could tell Thibs didn't love it. But, I mean, it presents the perfect opportunity. Bounce back game at home, week off. Like, this is balls to the wall.
But Rico, I got to ask you guys this because you guys are Knicks fans.
Yeah.
Don't you love the fact that Thibs called the team on it in the post game?
Yes.
Like, I mean, you get what you deserve. Like, it's almost like he wasn't talking to the fans and the media. He was talking to the guys in the locker room. Like, this is what you deserve. You put that kind of effort out there. You don't play 48 minutes. That's what's capable of happening.
You're not good enough to just go out there and play basketball. You need to give maximum effort. You know, we talk about the importance of the game. There's levels to it because, A, you don't want to lose to Detroit. B, you don't want to lose when you have a week off in between games. And C, you look at the standings right now. I mean, the Knicks were fourth. Now they're sixth. You lose that game, you could wind up being eighth heading into the All-Star break. So every game matters tremendously in the standings.
Well, I think currently they're in fifth.
Yeah, they're fifth.
They're 18 and 18. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you win against the Pistons. That puts you at 19 and 18. And
yes.
I mean,
Toronto's 17 and 17. So, I don't know who you consider higher.
Well, on standings, it says the Knicks are. I mean, the Knicks are together, but the Knicks are at five. But, they, I mean, at least you beat the Pistons. Now, all of a sudden, you're a game over 500. That solidifies you, I mean, going into the second half where you're right in the middle of the playoff race.
Yes.
Like you're not dropping. So you're right. I mean, you're anywhere between, you know, four and five at that point.
Because you could have a streak of 3-7 and be the 11 seed before you even, you know, open your eyes. So every game has maximum importance if you are one of these Knicks fans who are looking at the playoffs as a realistic end goal.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, in the last 10 games, you're 7-3, which is great. But I think the sign of a good team that's moving in the right direction and a well-coached team is your ability to bounce back. You know, don't let one loss all of a sudden become two losses and all of a sudden you go on a little bit of a losing streak. Especially as a player, man, the last thing you want to do is sit on a loss against the Detroit Pistons, who were, I mean, Canty calls them the worst team in the NBA, for a full week. That's not how you want to spend your All-Star break.
It'd be awful. I mean, we just watched the Pistons a couple days ago. They stink. I mean, they had guys playing that you can't even believe they're in their starting lineup. They start Dennis Smith Jr., who couldn't even find a minute of playing time with the Knicks when he was
here.
Well, we did start Frank last night, who was out of the rotation, and now
we started Frank because I mean, Peyton's out and Derrick Rose is out. He's our third string point guard.
No, but I think it highlights. I mean, I think last night when you look at the lineup and what happened against San Antonio, who's well coached, they moved the ball well. I mean, it seemed like they got into the paint at will and then were just dishing the ball for wide open uncontested threes, mm-hmm. which drove me crazy. But I mean, it's. The Knicks have clearly overachieved. I mean, at 18 and 18, when you look at, I mean, we're sitting here talking about, how can they win without Elfrid Payton and, you know, a Derrick Rose on the back end of it? Like, Derrick Rose is, I mean, he's fine, but, I mean, Derrick Rose on a good team is not a starting point guard.
No, he's
not.
A backup point guard.
Neither is Elfrid Payton.
No.
And we're saying,
I think Payton's the more obvious one that shouldn't be starting than Derrick Rose, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
Well, the reason why Elfrid Payton starts is because they like the fact that you can take advantage of Rose and quickly off the bench. But, I mean, neither of those guys on good teams are starting point guards.
No. No.
And we're sitting here going, yeah, as soon as we found out that he wasn't playing, there was no chance.
But that's where you are. I don't think anybody is making the mistake of thinking the Knicks are a great team right now. The Knicks are getting the most of what they have. They're well coached. They play hard defensively, and you're excited about where they stand. But nobody thinks this is a great team.
No, I don't think people think it's a great team, Dave. But I think people are a little delusional when it comes to the actual talent that's on the team. And I think that Knicks fans have got to be honest with themselves in terms of what needs to happen in the future. I mean, we talked about it ad nauseum. Like, the Knicks need to add more upper echelon talent. Listen, if you have an opportunity to go after an all-star caliber player that can be in your backcourt and you can pair with IQ for the future, like, that's what you have to do at this point. Like, I feel like that's the next step for this regime. Because as constituted, the Knicks will be a playoff team. But, I mean, if they want to take steps and they want to move the program forward, like, you're going to have to find another guy that you can depend on, another all-star caliber player to go with Julius Randle. Otherwise, you're going to be one of those teams that's always talking about getting into the playoffs and losing in the first round.
You're very limited if you don't bring somebody else in this year. Before we break, I think this will be a terrific call. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, you're first up. Good morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on, Lonnie?
How you guys doing? Please give me some time. I haven't called in for a little while, so I have a couple of things to say.
Okay.
First off, you guys truly make my mornings full of the latest sports and plenty of laughs. Like yesterday with the Price is Right game show, I was literally in tears. I actually called in to RJ and told him that it must go on. I don't know if he told you guys.
No, it's done. It's not going on. It's going nowhere. Into the toilet.
Why, Dave? Why? Because you lost.
Dave's a baby.
Because I was cheated, Lonnie. I was cheated. And I was told that. And I was told after that there was full cheating going on too. By the way.
You didn't
pick up on the fact that there was cheating going on, Lonnie?
Continue with your point.
I don't know.
Thank
about
you,
Canty. I was just about to say, Canty, Dave might have to kiss the ring for all the cheating he was doing yesterday. But if there was other cheating going on, I don't know.
Dave Lonnie, started... we haven't confirmed or denied that. We haven't gone into that. We just focused on what Dave did.
Yeah.
And Dave, admittedly, on the airwaves,
that's right, because I'm honorable and I'm honest.
Said that he started off the game by cheating.
No, not the game.
He started it off.
Not the game, like, Lonnie. I thought it would be funny if you know what. I don't want to revisit this, Lonnie. I already feel like I've been raked over the coals by these savages, and everybody was in on it.
There
and that's
you go
the most hurtful
the victim
thing.
All the time, Rothenberg, you do this all the time.
Everybody was in on it. Everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, it was like Usual Suspects. I got guys skipping down the street. I got fake guys, people that don't exist. I got coffee mugs that are involved the whole way through.
Always somebody doing something wrong to Rothenberg.
You started the cheating. Wrong. This is what I don't understand. You started it. The game was your idea, and you started off the game by cheating.
Because I thought it would be funny if in the pregame, one that does not count, if you threw one out there, I got it right, and then you guys were terrified of what took place in the actual game. But I didn't. Once the legitimate game came on, I would never have cheated.
I love it. Use that excuse. I'm going to try that excuse. Anyone listening, next time you get caught cheating on something, if it's whatever it ends up being, could be you're
so you're burying the lead. You, Rick, because I thought you and Chris cheated in the actual game.
I see where you're going with it, Rico.
You're a cheater!
Right.
I'm done. See, I'm done. I didn't want to go back
really
here.
Counts,
you guys can't help yourself.
Cheat.
I was told.
I would never cheat
you
when it
cheated.
Really counts. But if it doesn't really matter, then I'll go ahead and cheat. Come on,
exactly
man.
Right.
Let's bring it back.
I'm not doing it.
Because you guys, I don't know if there's an athlete's code or you guys are pumping
no
each other
code.
For information
the
before the show. I don't know how it
cheating.
Works, but I see what happens with you teaming up on me. And the public sees it. And that's what makes me vindicated in this whole thing. The amount of tweet love, Twitter is miserable, that I received yesterday based on your cheating and Kay losing his mind made me feel comfortable.
Oh,
Lonnie, I apologize. You're back.
Yes, Dave. A little quick on the trigger there. You're turning into the caster a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm controlling who gets dropped. Go ahead. It's
those fat sausage fingers, Lonnie. I apologize.
Listen, Dave, I was just about to commend you, too, on the K show because I was going to say I have to respect your gangster from yesterday when you challenged Michael off the air. I was over here ringing the bell myself like, whoa. And
Lonnie,
now
Lonnie, come on. You know, K would destroy Dave.
Oh, stop it.
Destroy
him.
See? And that was leading up to my next question. Now, whose corner would Mr. Rico be in?
Oh, please. You know whose
Dave's
corner he'd be in.
He'd
have the Vaseline out rubbing it all over Michael as this thing got going.
Yeah, and then you could borrow it to take your temperature before the fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to make sure I'm healthy. I am thermometer boy right now.
Because I believe I know where Mr. Canty was staying. I believe that would be in
he's loyal.
Corner.
Oh, yeah, I got my teammates back. No question
about
it.
Stop it.
That's not
after
even,
yesterday, I doubt that.
No, I'm going to be in Rothenberg's corner. There's no question about it.
Because he has a sense, thanks for the call, Lonnie, he has a sense of loyalty, unlike you.
We can fight in the family, but if somebody
that's
tries
right.
to fight somebody in the family, then it's going to end bad for that person.
That's right.
Yeah, so I got Dave Rothenberg's back. That's
unless
that's how
you're
I
Rick,
roll.
And then Rick will take Michael's side, no matter what the case is.
Well, that's because you need someone 6'8", 330 to cover your whole back.
Wow.
That's why.
See?
Wow.
And this is my teammate?
Carry your body out of the ring
that's
after
great.
K knocks you
And this
out.
Is my teammate. You're great. Who do you play next? Who does Portland play next?
I don't even know if we have a game. I mean, this might
Good.
Be it.
Don't attack the kids.
Don't attack
the
kids, right? This is why you're a bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm a great
so,
guy.
That's what I'll ask the kids. So how come you cheated on your test? Well, I thought it'd be funny if I cheated.
You got. It's not the final,
so it doesn't really matter, right, Rico? It's not, right.
But the amazing thing is that you guys cheated on the actual test, and you're making me out to be the bad guy. It's fine. You know what? It's fine. I see how it works. I understand it. I've come to grips with it. I'm always going to be the bad guy. You're the former athletes, and this is how the game is played.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
What you do so well, you get in there, you stir the pot, you get people angry at each other, and then you get out of the ring and you just let whoever is left remaining battle it out.
Yeah, why would I stay in the middle of it?
Yeah, no, you're very good at it.
I can enjoy.
Very, very good at it.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that you, I mean, I just threw the bait out there. I mean, it's you're the one that has to take the bait. I know you took the bait.
That's right.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line,
and
sinker.
Like a big mouth bass.
I'll go with the 398.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, too, because like, Canty was like the Michael Pineda of cheating.
Oh, yeah, with the pint.
With the pint are on his neck.
Yeah. Nobody guesses 98.
I mean, at that point, why even try to hide it?
You remember the Joe Niekro when the file flew out of his pocket?
Yes.
Like he took it and he threw it down the first baseline? That was what it was like yesterday.
Yesterday was one of those shows that I wish we were simulcast, because it was funny listening to it, but the fact that I got to see you on Zoom doing it, like how animated you were getting, made it even better.
Well, you, after me losing my mind, I was like, Rick, what do you think about this? You're like, don't come to me. I just can't talk now.
I'm not even joking, Dave. I listened back to it yesterday because at some point you can hear Santi laughing in the control room, like dying. Like everyone was hysterical laughing. I was bent over because I went full cramp. Like my entire midsection cramped up. I was laughing so hard. I'm telling you right now, that was one of my in the history of doing radio, that was one of my favorite segments of all time.
Top five of all time.
No, top, that's, it's
top
Mount Rushmore.
Two?
That's top, yeah, I mean, that's top two, three. That's Mount Rushmore-ish.
I love it. All right, we'll get to this Brian Windhorst. Let's get to it now, actually, and we'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. Here's what Windy had to say on the Hoop Collective podcast about the Knicks and the future.
I say within the next 12 months, a star/superstar player demands a trade to New York. And I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. And I say by next year's trade deadline, a player, a superstar, you know, all-star player tries to force his way there.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds great to me, but I mean, come on, give us a few of your guesses.
You know, it's funny. I was in the car with Ben yesterday, and he's half playing on his phone, half listening, and he goes, well, why wouldn't he say who it was? And I didn't really have an answer. That's a bombshell statement. Why would you not give us at least some nibbles of who that could possibly be?
Well, on the heels, too, of Jay Will saying that, I mean, he could see Luka trying to force his way out of Dallas to the New York Knicks.
Wow. After they traded for KP from the Knicks to support Luka.
How great would that be?
Listen, that happens on top of the fact that with that deal, you open up the cap space, you get Julius Randle, and you get Morris, and Morris turns an IQ. And now because you traded KP and Luka doesn't want to play with KP, he comes to the Knicks. Now you definitely won the KP trade if you're the Knicks.
100%.
Definitely won.
100%.
But can you possibly, I mean, Mark Cuban is one of the smartest people in the world. Like, he's a brilliant guy. You think there's any way that he would trade Luka Doncic?
No.
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 Would you?
No.
No, of course not. I'm sitting here looking at all these teams, and he said, I mean, star/superstar. And I'm going through the different teams. I mean, is he Karl-Anthony Towns? Is that someone he's talking about?
Yeah, that's a big name.
Possibility, yeah.
It's a big name. I mean, we all wanted to think that maybe Donovan Mitchell, but I mean, they're in first place in the
West.
Yeah,
I think they're all set. I think
he's all set.
And why would he force his way out of there? It's a great situation.
Well,
Devin Booker's doing good in Phoenix. I mean, that was another name that we all love, Devin Booker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing great in Phoenix.
I mean, they're on the verge of being a top three team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, so I mean, I just wish he gave us a taste of
Giannis?
The kind of name. No, Giannis isn't going anywhere.
So who? I mean, the only one you can even think of is Doncic, no?
No, I think Carl Anthony Towns could be a possibility.
Okay.
Brad Beal could be a possibility.
Yeah, but that's someone I think we look at now even as a possibility. You don't have to wait a year for that.
Yeah, Dave, but I mean, he probably likes to be right. He's going to give himself a window so he
can make himself
look like Nostradamus with this whole thing. But yeah, I mean, he's saying at some point over the next 12 months, whether that's at the deadline, whether that happens next summer, like that's a situation where because the Knicks have shown that they have the infrastructure in place, they're going to be a destination for guys that want out of their current situation. And listen, with the front office that they've assembled, with getting all of the people that they got, like you feel good about the people that are making the decisions about the direction of the franchise, and you actually have something tangible now to show for it, because I think this team, by every standard, has exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I mean, you start connecting the dots. I think you start looking at players that would want to go play for the Knicks. You start, you know, who's had relationships with Leon Rose in CAA, and obviously who went to Kentucky,
right?
If you were a CAA client and you played for Kentucky,
does Devin Booker CAA?
Devin Booker's Kentucky.
He went to Kentucky.
No, I know that.
So I mean, Devin Booker would be amazing. I mean,
but I mean, that makes no sense.
Would I take the Aaron Fox in a minute?
Oh, that would be a great one, huh?
That would be a huge
one. Kentucky.
He's Kentucky.
And that team's a disaster right now.
You know, to this day, what still aggravates me, and this is, I guess, hindsight's 20/20.
Winning the games down the stretch that year?
That pisses me off. But also, like, those opportunities you had in some of these drafts to get the right player, and I know it's, you know, all dependent on who you like. But, I mean, you look at a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that you let pass you up. And what he's turned himself into. And maybe he doesn't turn himself into, because the Knicks have been so dysfunctional, he doesn't turn himself into the player he is now. But the way they're being coached.
You would have liked that option, right?
What's that?
You would have liked the option for him to not turn into the player that he has turned into now.
But look at what we've drafted in the first round.
I know, but don't go back. Don't bring us back to. I mean, we're at a high with the Knicks right now. We're 500 heading into the All-Star break.
But Kevin Knox is.
Yeah, I agree.
Is not very good. Frank is what he is. I mean, he's a good defender. I mean, R.J. Barrett's more of a wing than he is a guard.
But R.J. Barrett's a good player.
No, but you drafted him as a guard. He's not a guard. He's a wing. I'm just saying. All the people, the reason I bring it up is because all these people that, you know, God forbid you start talking about trading draft picks and everything else, they have a nervous breakdown when you have a proven commodity that you could get.
Because that's the hope for the future for a lot of these people. John in Riverdale. John, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, I have a question, and I hate to use this comparison with the NFL, like with the quarterbacks, but when do you give up on your talent like R.J. Barrett? Obviously, he's not like John Moran or Zion Williamson, so obviously I won't be so broken up about it if you put him in a package deal and just get a better player, because obviously you see that he's not going to be like a star-caliber player like those guys are, because they're already proving it.
Well, it's still really early with R.J. Barrett. I mean, the kid's 20 years old, and we got to give it time. I mean, I know that those other guys have flashed, and they've been a little more consistent in terms of what they're bringing to the table. But I mean, it's not like R.J. Barrett is a bad player. He's improved based on where he was with his numbers in year one to year two, so we'll see what he continues to develop into.
Do you see him being that type of player, though? Because to me, it looks like he's just going to be a serviceable NBA player.
He's better than serviceable.
I think R.J. Barrett still has all-star potential. Like, do I think he's ever going to be an all-star starter? No. But do I think he could be an all-star at some point in his career? Absolutely. Now, the question becomes the value proposition on what's available. Like, if you have an opportunity to put R.J. Barrett into a package for a trade for Brad Beal, like, I think that's what you have to look at in terms of, does it make sense to put him on the trade block in order to get that kind of talent to come back to your organization? Because Brad Beal is phenomenal. Like, he's outstanding. I don't think that R.J. Barrett's ever going to lead the league in scoring. So if you have an opportunity to make that move, then you got to consider it.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, when I watch R.J. Barrett play, and give him credit too, with how poorly he started shooting the ball, especially from three and where he is now, I mean, he's clearly improved. We all agree with that?
100%.
Yes. I mean, from three, he's night and day. So he's getting better. And, I mean, Chris said it. I mean, how young he is. You know what? You would hate to give up on someone that young who's clearly talented. If that option does present itself, where it could be whoever, you name the player. We all like Brad Beal.
Yes.
Now you start looking at what you think R.J. Barrett's ceiling is going to be as a player. Like, who would you use in the NBA as a comp for R.J. Barrett. Mm. And I look at a guy, even last night, I think a guy like DeMar DeRozan's a pretty good comp for what R.J. Barrett could potentially be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. But this idea that he's been disappointing or is just average and going to be average, I think is unfair.
Yeah,
he's
but he, 20. You're comparing that to the two guys that were drafted in front of him in Zion Williamson and Ja Morant.
But that's not a fair comparison. These guys are head and shoulders better than he is.
And I would agree with you, Dave. But here's the thing. I don't think that it's giving up on the player if you decide you're going to include R.J. Barrett in a trade package for a superstar talent like Brad Beal. I don't think that's giving up on the player. That's just trying to put the franchise in
right,
a better
you're
spot.
Trying to better your situation yeah, is what you're trying
upgrading.
To do.
Yeah.
And I would have our time, but listen, sometimes when you make a deal like that, the outcome of who wins or loses the deal also depends on where the player you just traded goes to, like how well the organization you trade him to is run. Because that's a lot. I mean, that means a lot as to whether or not the player reaches his full potential. And right now, Washington is not, I mean, is not a well-run
it's a dumpster
organization.
Fire.
It's
dumpster
exactly
fire.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be like, okay, I'm nervous because if, God forbid, I trade him to the Spurs in Greg Popovich, that R.J. Barrett turns into a superstar. It'd be like if the Jets made a deal, like if we traded Sam Darnold to the New England Patriots or the San Francisco 49ers or the New Orleans Saints, you'd be scared to death.
Scared to death.
That he's going to turn into a star. But if you traded him to a dumpster fire, you wouldn't
like
be as worried about it.
But Rico, let me ask you this question, man. Like, I get it as a fan, you worry about that. But if you're running one of these teams, like, does that factor in? Should that factor into your decision-making process? Because, I mean, if you think you're making a deal that makes your team better, that moves your team forward, why would you really be worried about what the other player is going to ultimately do at another team?
No, I think it would be. I mean, for me, it would signal that you're not confident in the job that you do.
Agreed. That's my point. That's
and
what
I think they
to
are.
To.
I think that this regime, for the first time in a long time, actually really believes in what they're doing. And so do I, as a matter of fact. If the Knicks were to make a trade, I think I would buy into it, unless it's just something that I was horrified by. But to further the team, to bring in another star player, I'm all about that. And if it includes R.J. Barrett, then so be it.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, we all believe it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same conversation we have, you know, with Jets fans about where the Jets are at. And every Jets fan to a man calls and said, I trust Joe Douglas. So, I mean, I feel the same way about Leon Rose. Now, do I love the fact that they passed up on Halliburton and picked Obi Toppin at the moment? No, I don't love it.
Toppin is tough to watch, by the way.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, defensively, he's not great. I mean, his shot is leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know why they don't post him up a little bit. Like, I don't need him standing at the three-point line. All he does is he's for some reason, just creating space. That's it. He had an air ball last night. When he gets in the open, I mean, when he gets on the in the open court, he's. I mean, you can see what he'll do. You'll see it in the dunk contest, but I don't know, man. And then last night they were like, "Oh, look at the athleticism." I was like, "Oh, he can jump really high." I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look overly athletic to me on the court.
This dunk contest is. Whew.
Well, time out now.
You're going to defend these guys?
No, I'm telling you what. It's not superstar talent. But you seen Cassius Stanley, dude? I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can jump out of the gym.
I'm not denying the fact that Cassius Stanley is a freak athlete.
What was the greatest dunk you've seen recently? The greatest dunk contest you've recently seen involved two players.
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. Yep.
Aaron Gordon has one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen in a dunk contest.
But Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine are like Michael and Magic compared to what we have in this dunk contest this weekend.
Not really. I mean, at the time they were doing it, I mean, no one was that excited about watching Aaron Gordon in a dunk contest at that time.
No, nobody.
But let's just admit that
nobody
you don't need any semblance of a decent player for you to get excited about the dunk contest.
The best dunkers aren't necessarily the best players, Dave.
The best dunkers aren't even in the NBA.
Yeah,
that's true.
What I'm saying,
so then, just show me that. Show me guys from the playgrounds in New York City that are going to dunk.
I would like to see
that.
Zion
would be cool
it.
If they
I
could include
it.
That. But I mean,
be great.
Yeah, but you want guys from around the NBA because it's a celebration of the NBA at All-Star Weekend.
All right,
come on, Dave.
It's a celebration.
People don't even know what team Cassius Stanley is on.
You know, on my last mask I ever had painted, I had all my favorite equipment managers. I had them painted on the mask. Each like I had my boy Lenny from the Islanders. I had him dressed up as Rambo. I had Shaky dressed up as James Bond.
Shaky,
that was his nickname. Shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not a great nickname if you're sharpening skates. If your nickname's Shaky,
probably not good.
But Shaky and me used to always do what the five fingers say to the face. Slap. in Unity. So on his hand, he's got the Unity. It's hilarious. I wore it the other day. It's the Unity ring on his hand in the mask.
What is wrong with y'all?
I got issues, man.
The hockey guys are interesting. Yeah.
All right, before we break and come back again to this Harden story and his return to Houston, let's go to Troy in Carolina. I don't know if it's north or south. I don't know that it matters. Good morning, Troy.
It's south. It doesn't matter. But, Dave, Chris, I might have some breaking news for you. I don't know if you know yet.
Okay.
But, you know, DiPietro, he's been negotiating a trade in the background. You guys know who it is. You know. So yesterday, I'm on the way home, Michael Kay, to get into it, him and Don, and da-da-da-da-da. Next thing you know, Michael said, well, we're trading them. DiPietro's coming here. You're going to the mornings with them. I don't know if you guys knew this.
No, I didn't know that. But listen, here's the thing, Troy. We want people that want to be here. And so if we have a member of the team that doesn't want to be here, that said he doesn't want to play for us anymore, we're not like the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio. We'll be willing to listen to trade offers.
And Chris, we'll get Rick's response on the other side. But Chris, it's not like we would be receiving nothing in return. That's a lot of compensation.
A lot of compensation.
Oh, the rants, the amount of airtime, the great sports takes. It could be. It has the potential to really.
And not to mention this, Dave. I mean, Don with the Rangers and the work he's doing over there. I mean, we're swapping out an Islander for a Ranger.
Yeah, to get a real hockey guy on the show, yeah. I think would be tremendous help.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.